Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin announces that they'll be letting some people go soon. Cruise lines have made their case to the Centers for Disease Control to reopen. Some new options for table service dining may be on the horizon. And a little later, we're going to discuss an article on the Diz by contributor Zoe Wood entitled Five More People You Don't Want to Be at Walt Disney World. All that coming up next. From the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan your next Disney vacation. Dreams agents are committed to giving you honest and unbiased advice and helping you plan a magical vacation your family will remember for years. Visit us on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And by Magic Candle Company. Magic Candle is the leader in theme park inspired candles, wax melts, fragrance oils, and much more. Bring a little bit of the magic into your home with Magic Candles. Use code DISNEYINFO at checkout and receive 15% off your order every time. That's MagicCandleCompany.com. Hello, folks, and welcome. Coming to you live from the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined this week via Skype by my good friends, Denny Sunderly.
Hey there.
Dreams Unlimited Travel Agent. And a really nice Irish boy, Mike Finucci.
Hello, everyone.
And, of course, our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Oi, oi.
Welcome, folks, to the show. Hope your week is off to a good start. A couple things before we get started. First, I want to thank everyone for the prayers and well wishes you sent out to me last week when I went in for my heart catheterization. They did find some stuff. It wasn't as bad as it could have been. They did not put in a stent, so that was good news. But it was a judgment call as to whether or not they were going to do it. And the reason I'm mentioning this is that, you know, it's been in the back of my mind for a long time, that, you know, maybe I should get this checked out. It's a history of it in my family of heart disease. My sister, Susan, passed away in 2016. From a heart attack. My brother just had a double bypass. My grandfather had multiple heart attacks. And it's no secret to anyone who knows me that I'm not exactly Mr. Health. I smoke. I've gained a lot of weight this year. I don't always eat the way I should. But I know I'm not alone in that. And I just want to encourage people. I avoided doing this because I didn't want to know. Right. I didn't want to know. I knew that there was probably something going on, but I didn't want to know. So it was easy to say, I'll worry about it later. I'll worry about it later. I'm so glad I went and did this because now I know what I'm dealing with. And now I know what I have to do to address it. And so if you are in that boat, if you are somebody who's at high risk, you have it in your family, or you have that thing nagging in the back of your head. I know it's scary, but walk through that. Walk through that. It's better to know now. You know, it was 2008 when Bob Barley, the man for whom the studio is named, died of a massive heart attack. And I believe he was 56 or 57 years old at the time. And I just kept thinking to myself, if Bob had had this done, maybe he would still be here. So I just want to put that out there. If it's something that concerns you, if it's something that sits in the back of your mind and kind of weighs on you, take that next step and go get it checked out. I'm very, very happy that I did. A lot of lifestyle changes I got to make now. But, you know, we all need that kick in the butt to get us to say, okay, you're not a kid anymore. There's stuff you got to do. So, again, thank you, folks, for all of that. And that's the end of the sermon. Let's get on to some news stories here. Something interesting in the news, I believe this came out yesterday. The Cruise Line International Association, also known as CLIA, announced a set of health protocols that they are going to that they want to put in place at, to allow cruise lines to begin operating again on a limited basis. And they presented that to the Centers for Disease Control. Unlike most of the other businesses in the United States, the CDC absolutely has authority over cruise lines in terms of when they sail, how they sail, what their protocols are. Even before COVID, we knew that, you know, things can happen on cruise lines. You've got, you know, norovirus and other outbreaks that would happen. You know, even, you know, what is known as cruise crud, when you, you know, go on a ship and you come off with a cold or the flu or an upper respiratory infection. So for that reason, CDC has jurisdiction. So that's why they're presenting this to them. And the only reason cruises have not resumed yet is because the CDC said you can't. So the Cruise Line Association, CLIA, has been spending months working on protocols and what they plan to do in order to resume operation. This was the key word, key phrase, this year. To resume operation this year. Some of those plans are things that we've already talked about. 100% testing of all passengers and crew prior to embarkation. That's the, with the exception of a vaccine that is proven to be completely effective, that is the only way cruises are going to happen. I've been saying it from the beginning. They're going to have to, people are going to have to be tested before they get on. Mask wearing will be mandatory by all passengers and crew on board and during excursions whenever physical distancing cannot be maintained. I think we've seen from, you know, save a couple of crazy people, I think we've seen from the parks that generally that works pretty, that's working pretty well. Distancing, physical distancing in terminals, onboard ships, private island, and during shore excursions. Ventilation, air management and ventilation strategies to increase fresh air on board, and where feasible, using enhanced filters and other technologies to mitigate risk. Medical capability, risk-based response plans tailored for each ship to manage medical needs, dedicated cabin capacity allocated for isolation and other operational measures, and advanced arrangements with private providers for shoreside quarantine, medical facilities, and transportation. And shore excursions, only permit shore excursions according to the cruise operators' prescribed protocols with strict adherence. Pay attention, folks. Strict adherence required of all passengers and denial of reboarding for any passengers that do not comply. And we've talked about this before. I think it was MSC Cruises in Europe has resumed operation, and they've implemented a lot of these strategies, and their shore excursions were being done in this kind of this bubble, as they were calling it. Mm-hmm. And there was a family who decided they were going to go off on their own on one of these shore excursions. They got back to the ship and they weren't allowed on. And I was like, yay.
Wow.
Yay. That is exactly what needs to happen. If we want to see cruising happen again, this is the only way right now. Until there is an effective vaccine, this is the only way. What do you guys think?
I think it's completely understandable. I don't think there's anything on that list that is out of line or seems egregious at all. It all makes sense. You know, we have certain standards that we have to adhere to if we want to go in a Disney park right now. So same thing. If you want, you don't have to go on a cruise, but if you want to go on a cruise, this is what you need to do for now. And we don't know how long this would last, but for now, this is it. So if you're signing up, then you know that you're signing up under that jurisdiction. That's, you are signing up and saying, yes, I understand the whole strict adherence policy. And you got it. And I love that MSC kind of just set that standard and put their money where their mouth was. So,
yeah, I think it's going to be really important for people to understand that it's about the health of everybody on the ship. And so that bubble for excursions, testing, all of that really ties back to making sure you and your family are safe and everyone else on that ship is safe, including, you know, all of the crew members. And I think that's one of the places that everyone kind of forgets is that it's also the crew members that you're taking care of in that regard as well. And I agree, Denny, the precedent set by MSC really is going to help, I think, moving forward for, you know, when cruising does resume.
And I think the minute that the CDC lifts the restriction, these cruises are going to start sailing again. Now I take a look, you know, obviously we focus on Disney Cruise Line, and we know, I believe they've canceled everything up to December 13th. Mike, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And I just find it interesting that it's up to December 13th. They want those. They definitely want the holiday cruises going off. And when I take a look at the weekly discounts that get released for Cruise Line, I'm seeing in January, the only discounts that are available are 3- and 4-night sailings for Florida residents, military. It's all 3- and 4-nights in January. You start seeing 7 nights becoming available for discounts in February. So I think that's where they're going to start. They're going to start with the 3- and 4-night sailings. I think there are going to be adjustments in terms of itineraries. I think they'll probably try and work something out with the Bahamian government that they just go to Castaway Cay, because the Bahamas right now requires you to quarantine for 14 days if you want to get off, if you want to be on their island. So obviously there's no feasible way for that to happen with cruise passengers, but maybe they strike a deal there too. Who knows? Bahamas economy is dependent on cruise lines more than anything else. So I think I've been saying it for a while. I think the announcement's coming. I would expect in the next 2 to 4 weeks, we're going to know when they're going to resume operations, and we're going to know what that looks like. Now, with that being said, we all miss cruising, right? All of us have cruised. All of us miss Disney Cruise Line. I was doing something yesterday and a picture showed up on my phone from when I was on the Wonder last year. And I'm like, oh God, dying to get back. Who's going?
I was going to ask you that question. If you would, if you would go, like if somebody said to you, Pete Werner, we're going to send you on a very merry time cruise, what would you say?
Not right now.
Okay.
Not right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the problem because, you know, look, I'm just getting ready to go back in the parks.
Right.
I'm gearing up to go back in the parks. Mm-hmm. I will not eat a meal indoors at a restaurant.
I'm there with you.
That's why we had to stop doing, that's why we basically had to stop doing the dining shows because, you know, we'll resume them. We will resume them again. But right now, there's just not a lot of places to eat at Disney that have outside seating. There's a lot of quick service you can do that with, but in terms of table service, you really don't have a lot of options. Yeah. And there's not going to be any outdoor seating for dinner on the cruise.
Yeah. I'm okay eating indoors if it's just my husband and I, but if we're with a group of people that we haven't quarantined with, then it's definitely, we're more comfortable eating outside. I don't know, Pete, and maybe it's just because I've been in and out of the parks plenty, but it's not a hard and fast no for me. If someone said to me, hey, Denny, there's availability and here it is, we're giving it to you, take this cruise, I'd have to think that through, and I might, you know, land on the side of going for it. So,
yeah.
Mike, what about you? Would you do a cruise right now?
I would have initially told you before the beginning of this month, I would be very hesitant to do so. After I spent a little bit of time in the parks at the very beginning of the month, and I was very impressed by how Disney handled it. So I'm more torn than I would have been now about a cruise in that situation. It would be something that I would definitely think about it, like Denny said. Especially if they, you know, release more information, like in the parks at table service, they won't let you in without taking your temperature for a table service meal, in addition to the park temperature screening. So if they're doing that at the dining rooms on the ship, and cabanas, ooh, how is that even going to work?
The big difference though is that they'd be requiring you to be tested
first, yeah,
COVID before embarkation. That does make a difference to me. There's no such requirement at Disney World. And let's be honest, taking your temperature is just like security theater.
It is.
That doesn't mean anything because you can be absolutely asymptomatic and be spreading COVID.
Right.
And you would not have a temperature. So it's, you know, so maybe, I don't know. I'd probably have to see some sailings go and see them go successfully before I'm willing to, and again, I'm a high risk, so I have to pay attention to that. I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'd also want to see what their terms are for the testing, like how soon, like before you sail, does that happen? And are there any requirements after you test? Like, are they going to require you to not have contact with a lot of people? How does that work with getting tested before you come and then you fly as well?
Like, see,
my
thought was that they would do their own rapid testing at the terminal.
Yes.
Is how I don't think there's, I really don't see, they can't say you have to have your test within 72 hours and then get on a plane and go here and go there. There's just doesn't make any sense.
And that's what I would need to wait and see what they're going to do with that piece. Cause it's, they haven't said in the guidance that CLIA released what their kind of expectations are for where that testing piece comes. So until that's ironed out, I would remain hesitant.
So Craig, what about you?
You know, the one thing that you have to keep remembering too with all of this is that you can test one day negative for it, and then the very next day you can be positive, or the day after that. So I think it's going to be like the parks, in a sense that, like what we talked about before with the parks, like, oh, well, temperature checks at the very least. It would be great if we had a rapid test. Well, when the testing can still change daily, I think you have to go in knowing that it's not 100% foolproof. It will not be foolproof, but if you're okay being in that environment, then sure. That being said, I could see myself going on, but it wouldn't be a normal cruise. Like, honestly, it would kind of be like a staycation for me. I probably would not go to the dining room at all to eat. I would just grab food from the top deck as much as possible. I would go inside solely to go to the pub to get my beers to bring back to my room. And that would probably be how I spend most of my cruise. And then of course I'd want a veranda so that way I could just sit in my stateroom the entire time. So it would be a complete waste of money from the sense of I'm not enjoying the activities that I'm paying for, but I could still find a way to have a really fun time.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, I like I said, I probably don't want to see them do it for a few months and see how it goes. It's kind of what I've done with the parks. I'm taking that wait and see approach. But, you know, after watching the live streams that you guys have been doing and hearing what I've been hearing, I feel a lot more comfortable going back into the parks now than I did just a few months ago. like I said, the eating indoors, not right now. I mean, look, the numbers in Florida are getting better. I got to be honest. Our numbers are getting better. The new infection rate's going down. Death rate's going down. It's moving in the right direction, but it is still crazy. It is still crazy. And I think more and more people are just adhering to some basic guidelines and some basic rules, physical distancing, wear your mask. And as a result, these numbers are starting to really go down. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not convinced yet. But I do think we will see cruises by the end of the year. That's my prediction. We will see cruises by the end of the year or the very beginning of January. Once the CDC lifts the restriction. So, but we'll find out. I'm sure more to come on that. All right, another story I want to talk about. Swan and Dolphin, Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resorts, sent notice to the Orange County Mayor, Jerry Demings, on Friday that they will be implementing job eliminations beginning November 13th of 2020. They are terminating 1,136 employees between both hotels, and that these are expected to be permanent due to the hospitality industry being hit especially hard with historically low hotel occupancy and event cancellations. Mm-hmm. Can't blame them for this. It sucks. But I think this is a harbinger of what's to come. I think there's a lot of people that think a switch is going to get flipped. We're going to wake up one day and COVID's no longer going to be a thing. And that everything's going to go back to the way it was before. Let me disabuse you of that right now. That's never happening. You know, if COVID had been a thing that affected us for about a month, yeah, okay, we probably would have just kind of gone back. But no, you don't just go back to the way things were. Doesn't mean things are going to be awful and bad and horrible. Doesn't mean we're going to wear masks for the rest of our lives. But it does mean that things are going to change. And I think you're seeing things like this is you're seeing companies start to acknowledge that, yeah, you know, waiting for things to go back to normal isn't a good strategy right now. We've got to position our companies to basically be able to function and survive in a world where we're not seeing 100% occupancy anymore like mm-hmm. we'd become used to. You see how many Disney resorts are closed. And, you know, the thought was that they were going to be reopening more in September and October. Lo and behold, that's not happening. Why? People aren't traveling. They're just not. And no matter how good they are, and no matter how good the reports are from people that, hey, you know, it was really clean and the cast members did a great job, there are just way too many people going, nope, sorry. Sorry. The people that are going are us, the hardcore fans. We're saving them right now. We're saving them right now. But there just isn't enough. You know, let's be honest. Swan and Dolphin, I love the Swan and Dolphin. I think they're great resorts. But let's be honest, they were not the first choice for a lot of people. You know, well, I'm going to stay at the Grand, or I'm going to stay at the Poly, or I'm going to stay at the Beach Club. And, oh, well, you know what? There's a really good rate at the Dolphin those days, and I'll save some money and stay there. again, not saying they're bad resorts at all. They're not. I always thought they were underappreciated for what they were. But this is sad, and I don't think this is the last story like this we're going to hear.
No, I would agree. These are, for the content team, these are the stories that are just really, they're so sad to have to sit and write. There's been so many of those little, you know, oh, this is canceled, and these you know, hardworking people aren't going to have their jobs anymore, that kind of thing. So it is definitely a bummer, to put it lightly, to cover things like this. But I think that you're right. I don't think this isn't the first, nor shall it be the last. And there are going to be ripple effects to all mm-hmm. of this on all planes of business. I mean, just huge ripple effects. So just keep everybody in mind when they're getting all this news. It's hard.
What really kills me is that the people being most affected by this are the people that can least afford it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. I've talked about our moving to Orlando efforts, selling real estate here in Orlando. And it's booming. The real estate market is booming. And people are like, how can that be in this economy? How can that be? Because this divide has just gotten wider. The people that are being laid off and losing their jobs are not the people who, they couldn't afford to buy a house before this. Mm-hmm. So it's this, you know, and I'm not saying it's like the uber rich or anything, but people who have jobs that are not affected by the economy in this way, they're like able to buy homes and do things. And it's these folks that are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, we've talked often about the frontline cast members and what they're paid. And, you know, while some improvements have been made there, all the improvements in the world don't matter if you've been let go. It doesn't matter if you've been furloughed. Mm-hmm. And this, to be clear, this is not a furlough. This is a termination. Furlough means we're going to bring you back. These jobs are not coming back, or at least not for a long time.
Right.
And it really and truly breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to say it.
Yeah.
But okay. Let's talk about this next one. Remember how I said Disney is going to have to start seriously pivoting their core business to adjust to the new normal? Well, the fact that they are now offering at one location, just at Sanaa, table service to go. Brilliant. Love it. Love it. Love it. Think this is fantastic. And if you think I will not drive the 35 minutes from my house yes. to go pick up food at the Wave or at another restaurant, bring it back here. Yep. You're out of your mind.
I said that to my husband the other night. Like, okay.
You're in Celebration. I'm in downtown Orlando. It's even worse for poor Mike. Mike is going to get on a plane.
I'd have to get on a plane. But I would do it for bread service at Sanaa, let me tell you.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So right now they're doing it. It's on the My Disney Experience app. Right now it is just at Sanaa, although it is expected to roll out to other restaurants. I think they're using Sanaa as the test. would have thought you might want to use a restaurant that's more easily accessible to more people to really stress test it. But Sanaa probably, if there's a list of underrated restaurants, hidden gems at Walt Disney World, mm-hmm. Sanaa's on it.
Absolutely.
That bread service is a big reason why. So you order what you want, you let them know your arrival window, and then they give you a time to come pick it up. And you'll be sent a notice when it's time to come get it. So I think this is awesome. I think this is awesome in particular for DVC members that are just staying like a one bedroom or, you know, two bedroom and have the kitchen, have the table and stuff like that. I am planning to be on property the end of October for a couple of weeks. And I'm like, I really hope this is expanded by then. But you better believe that while I'm staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. I am so doing this.
Yep. They do. They make mention in the app when you press on the fact that you, yes, I'm here, pick your arrival window. The screen will pop up and it'll say, hey, give us, make, bear in mind, it's going to take a little time. So it's not going to be this instantaneous, okay, you know, like we're used to at like Satuli Canteen, 8 minutes. No, it's going to take a little time, just like it would if you were sitting at the table and ordering from the table. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have a little, you know, a little patience and hang in there, you're going to get your non bread service, which,
you know, here's how good an idea this is. Not only am I thinking to myself, I will drive down there to get it. I'm like, I'm not even going to wait till I come back. I'll sit in my car and even I'll sit in my car and have dinner. I'm okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that in my mind.
Do what you must.
What restaurants are we hoping get added to this?
All of them.
Okay.
No, I honestly, I was going to say the exact same thing as Mike. So it really dawned on me, think about a week or two, I was in Hollywood Studios with Kylie and we wanted to get dinner. And the only thing that she was craving was the Cobb salad from Brown Derby. But again, we're not eating indoors right now. So we're just like, we're sitting there thinking like, well, maybe we could make a reservation, walk in, tell the front desk that we don't actually want to sit down and eat, but can we place a to-go order for the salad? Because if you want to order something to go at any restaurant while you're already sitting down at your table, they let you. So I'm like, well, why can't we just do that here too? We'll come back in an hour, pick up the salads if that's how long it takes, and then just walk out. Like, I'm sorry, if the Mall at Millennia Cheesecake Factory can process the amount of people that it does and also do to-go orders, then any Disney restaurant has those capabilities to do as much to go as you want, whether or not you're staying on property. Well, I mean, if you're in a park, you obviously need park admission, but I think they need to just do it for everything.
Your point is well taken, but it's an unfair comparison. You know, yes, they're both Cheesecake Factory and Hollywood Brown Derby are both restaurants. That much is true, but their whole business model is completely different. Their whole business model is completely different. So Disney's never had to do this. They've never had to do it. Cheesecake Factory has to do it to compete. Disney hasn't. So the infrastructure needs to be created to allow for that. And what does that involve? If not for COVID, this would not even be a discussion we'd be having. We would not be sitting here talking about table service orders to go. But it's kind of like with mobile ordering. You know, mobile ordering rolled out at just a couple of places while they tested it out, but very, very, very quickly they expanded it. And that is what is going to happen here, because this could be a really, again, they're picking Sanaa. So unless you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, I don't know that you're going to do to go from Sanaa. I don't know that people staying at the Polynesian who didn't rent a car are going to take the 83 buses or the minivan that they're going to need to take to go over to Sanaa to pick up their food. Now they strike a deal with Uber Eats or Lyft or something like that to start delivering the food.
Grubhub.
Now we got ourselves a ball game.
Yeah.
Now we got ourselves a ball game.
The fact that they could order from their favorite place, get it to go, and take it back to their room. That could be that one of those pivotal pieces. Right now, it is all about we're having to control so much, right? With COVID, you've got to make sure you're keeping physical distancing. You've got to wear your mask. There are things that you've got to feel really comfortable that you're able to kind of mitigate the possible things that could happen to you. And that's one of those things, is if I could roll down to Sanaa, if I'm staying there, grab some food and take it back to my room, that's a score. That's a win. And it'd be great if they would really roll it out property wide.
And I think specifically they're doing it at Sanaa right now because they've got people at Kidani and they have DVC members also still staying at Jumbo while there's not all the quick service and stuff open in Jumbo House. So it makes sense to have, you know, those folks be able to go over, pick up to go orders and take it back to their villa. Like what Pete said, I think on another note, for me, I would love to be able to do this at Ohana and never have to be rushed through another meal, but still enjoy the food.
Yeah.
Because the last two times that I've been to Ohana, our food, like appetizers and our first round of entrees came before our drinks arrived at the table. So, I still want the food. I just don't want the experience anymore.
Oh, yeah. No, look, we've made a big issue about the mm-hmm. service at Ohana for a long time. And it's gotten back to them. It's gotten back to them in spades, and they're completely undaunted. They were completely undaunted. Yeah. They were absolutely going to continue that model. That worked for them. Let's see when they do reopen in the age of COVID, if they're still quite so pushy.
Yeah.
of course, for me, the Wave, I would love to see the Wave do it. Imagine California Grill doing it. I wonder if we'll actually see that. We'll see like California Grill doing to-go orders. Are we going to see Citrico's doing to-go orders? These like legendary restaurants at Walt Disney World. Flying Fish? Holy crap. I'd be all on that.
Oh, absolutely.
In a heartbeat yeah. with Flying Fish.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So take a look at how we, this group of us, the four of us here, huge Disney fans, how we're responding to this. This is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good idea. And it makes me feel more comfortable. It makes me want, like, I am literally like planning now for that Sanaa meal when I'm at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I am absolutely planning for that meal. And so I really hope between now and the time I get on the property, this expands. I think it will expand to a lot more restaurants because it also is going to open up the opportunity to do a whole new set of dining reviews. So I'm very excited about that. But all right, that's enough for the news. I'm going to take a quick moment to do some housekeeping. First of all, as you know, what the hell is this doing? Stop. Sorry, my computer's deciding. It wants to upgrade things right now. We've been mentioning to folks about the Night of a Million Lights taking place at Give Kids the World from November 13th through January 3rd this year. They're putting up millions of lights around the village on the different villas, on the different buildings. Kind of think Osborne in that vein. Just got a little notice here. I can pull it up from Jackie. Josh DeMauro pleading with the state of California to give Disney fair and safe guidelines. The longer we wait, the more devastating the impact will be for Orange County. They're getting a lot of pressure in California about reopening. So just a little news flash there. Josh is on the job. But anyway, Night of a Million Lights. Think of it like Osborne lights for the holidays at Give Kids the World Village. It's going to be incredible. We're decorating one of the villas. The Diz team is decorating one of the villas. Lots of other companies are doing this. I don't know. I don't remember what the prices are going to be, but tickets will go on sale October 1st. Great way to show your support for the village, as well as the Diz family reunion 2021 happening next March. We'll have links to these in the show notes and on the Diz for you to check out. I know the VIP tickets for the March event are completely sold out. And we have that incredible night at Galaxy's Edge planned. It's going to be so much fun. So information on those in the links below in the show notes. I also want to do a pitch for Dreams Unlimited Travel. Everybody tells us, I get emails all the time, telling us how much they appreciate our content now more than ever. The way we pay for this content, the way we pay for these shows, the way we pay for everything we do is through Dreams Unlimited Travel. And of course, Dreams, like many other travel businesses, has been dramatically affected by COVID. And we're working our hardest to make it work. So if you are planning a trip and have never used a travel agent before, you've always done it yourself, I ask that you give us a try. Because the other emails I get an awful lot of are people that have done this, started making this plea earlier in the year. And the emails that I get from people saying, I am so glad I did this. Having an agent to navigate everything that has gone on, Mike Finucci can tell you, having an agent to navigate all these changes, cancellations, rebookings, the agents being the ones on the phone for 6 or 7 hours, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. You're going to pay the same thing you pay Disney. Disney pays us a commission. That's how we make our money. So please, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. If you like our site, if you like our content, if you like our staff, that's how we pay for it. And so please, 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 dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Do we have anything else for housekeeping?
I was going to mention the Diz Daily Updates mailer. If you are not getting our daily email with all of our featured articles and breaking news and fun videos and top message board threads from the Diz boards, please go to wgwinfo.com. At the top, you'll see all of our little social channel buttons. And at the very end, you'll see the button that has a little envelope on it. Click on that and you'll be able to enter your email address and you will start receiving our daily emails. And it's always, you never know what you're going to find in there, but you're going to be able to keep up to date with a lot of the news stories. Everything that's read here on the show comes from either the Diz or like one of the stories today was from DCL Fan, but you find out all of those stories, all of that information every single day if you're subscribed to the Diz Daily Updates.
All right. And anything else?
Yep. I just want to remind people, if you haven't done so yet, please make sure you're subscribed to this YouTube channel, youtube.com/DizUnplugged. And as well as our other YouTube channel, youtube.com/WDWinfo. And hey, might as well say moving to Orlando too, youtube.com/moving to Orlando as well too. And then also like in this right now, you know, we have 2,050 people watching with only 275 thumbs up. If you hit that thumbs up, then YouTube is going to say, hey, people like this. We need to show it to more people. So please also do that as well, too. And that also goes for the audio people out there. I know there's still way, 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 way more than we remember always with the audio listeners out there. But if you haven't actually subscribed to us, or if you haven't left us any ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you can, please do so. So that helps us. That helps us to be found by more people when you're leaving fresh ratings and reviews as well, too. So if you could do that, that would be amazing.
I also want to let folks know that I don't have the exact timetable for this, but the studio is going to be changing a lot. The table will be gone. You're going to have to wait to see how we implement our new studio until it's ready. But we're changing this whole thing up. The Nook is going to be gone.
May it rest in peace.
Oh, you know what? It's time. It's been 7 years that it's been pretty much set up this way. We've changed the decor once, but you know, the basic structure of it has been the same. And it's time to do something a little different. So I'm hoping by the end of October we have that done. I'm hoping by the end of October we have that done. But so just letting folks know that more change is coming to your world. So, all right, if there's nothing else, let's talk about this article by Zoe Wood, one of our most prolific, if not our most prolific contributor on the Diz. She's great. She writes some incredible articles for us. And one of the articles she had done, I forgot how long ago it was, is like five people you don't want to be at a Disney park. Well, she's updated that article to be five more people you don't want to be in a Disney park. And this is kind of updated for the age of COVID. So let's talk about the five people you don't want to be. Number one, the close standers. Now, we know this too well. The people that have apparently isn't a pandemic and are all up on top of you. That drives me up a wall. It's like, get away from me. Get away from me. That's why, you know, like, I'm okay with social distancing. I'm like, really good. Be over there. It's just, you know, I'm antisocial. So that's like made for me. Stay 6 feet away from me. But I'm sure we've all had experience with close standers.
Yes. I was in line at Mouse Gear to buy something, because you have to, that's a place that, okay, you are going to come within closer contact, but there's those wonderful little markers on the floor, and please stand where it says wait here. And I had somebody, a fellow guest behind me, that just kept missing that marker. And before I knew it, she is right, you know, right behind me. And I would kind of look back and look at her, and she'd go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm new at this, or what? This is my first time back." And she would, you know, try to take a step back. And then the next moment, she is right there again. So it's just something to keep in mind, you know, that this, honestly, this could happen.
How mind-numbingly stupid do you have to be that you can't? You can't look down and say, this is where I'm supposed to stand. I mean, do they have to like take, I think, you know what, let's give cast members cattle prods and they step off that top. See how quick they stay on it.
I think the majority of people do it on purpose. Honestly, it was like when Publix and other places added the one-way aisles and all of their stores. That's where I started cleaning house on Facebook.
That drove me nuts.
By just like every time I had a friend that would walk in and purposely like show themselves walking the wrong way down an aisle to make a point, I'm just like, okay, well, I can delete you out of my life with no problem here. I don't need to be friends with a 4-year-old who can't follow some basic rules. Yeah, I think a lot of people, they do it.
Oh, no, my favorite ones are, I couldn't stand the people that wouldn't follow those arrows at Publix, but my favorite ones were the ones who decided if they went up the aisle backwards, that was okay.
What in the world?
That they would go, I would see people do it where they were going to turn down the aisle and realize the arrow was pointing the other way. So they would turn around and go back, like go up the aisle backwards. I'm like, oh my God,
that's awesome.
Natural selection. Okay. Darwinism needs to visit this person. That is so stupid. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But this is the crap we've seen. And the Publix finally gave up and they pulled those markers off the floor again. But you know what? I will say, I go into Publix, everybody's wearing a mask. So, okay. You know, that does make it better. All right. Number two on Zoe's list. And I am so guilty of this. I am so guilty of this. The device zombies. Buried in the virtual land of cell phones come the glassy-eyed device zombies, navigating their way through the crowds like Dodgem cars on a series of overly ambitious Roombas. When making contact with other people or even hard surfaces, they don't even look up to see what it was they have run into. They just make a 30-degree turn and keep moving. I have been this guy on my phone walking. I try and be good about it, but I have to say that I have been a device zombie, but we've all come across them.
And it's a little bit worse right now with the socially distant lines, because you'll have entire groups of people that are traveling together standing at their marker. Everybody else moves ahead, but nobody sees it because you are on your device. And because there's now that gap in front of you, you don't have that, like, something moving in your peripheral vision to go, oh, maybe I need to move forward. So yeah, it's gotten worse, not better.
Yeah. You definitely have to look up from your device from time to time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm bad about that. I'm bad about that. Number three are the restaurant runners, as she calls them. And this is basically families with small children who let their children run around the restaurant. I gotta say, I don't see this that often anymore. And if a kid does start running around, like I was out at a restaurant. Well, yeah, I was at a restaurant Friday, and we were in downtown Orlando, sitting outdoors, but it was right on Central Ave, which, I mean, not like a major highway, but it's a busy road, especially on a Friday night in downtown Orlando. There's a lot of cars running, and this other table was out there. And they had a kid. It was 9 o'clock at night, 9:30 at night. And like a 4 or 5 year old kid. And this kid kept running out into the street. Ooh. And then the mother or the father would get up and, oh, come on, honey. I'm like, honey's going to be roadkill in 10 seconds. What is wrong with you? It's just like, they think everything their kid does is adorable, and they're not. They're not. Not to us. Not to us. But we've seen it. Mike, have you seen this in restaurants?
Oh, yeah. All the time. And it's one of those things, especially now. We didn't see it much when we were in the table service restaurants, because I did dine indoors when I was there just to see what that was like a couple times. It didn't see nearly as much of that as I did previously. Most people had their kids, you know, in their seats, masks on when they weren't eating. That was really good. But pre-COVID, all the time. There were specific restaurants that I know that we would avoid, especially if we were doing just a solid adults only trip. We wouldn't go to those restaurants because we knew there was a likelihood we'd see it.
Which restaurants do you think you're more likely to see that at?
Chef Mickey's.
That's it. Right, my mind.
which we did Chef Mickey's this trip without the characters and everything. Wonderful. So I enjoyed that, but Chef Mickey's, I've had that issue at Crystal Palace. Those are the two big ones that jump out right away in my head. But other than those were ones that we would generally avoid just in case of that.
Yeah.
Jenny, what about you?
I was going to say, Jackie, if you're curious at all about the Chef Mickey's experience right now and their transition away from being a buffet, Jackie did an awesome article yesterday on the Diz. So www.info.com, check that out, because she got to do the same thing, Mike, and she said the same thing, like two thumbs up. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen the kids running around as much in the restaurants as of late, that's for sure. I think everybody is really just doubly aware of where they are at this moment and in relation to other people, especially within indoor settings, like, you know, restaurants, that kind of indoor setting. So thankfully, I'm not seeing that a ton, but of course, over the years, I've been there and done that, and you just kind of go, okay, it's all right. I try to keep in mind, I try to talk myself down a little bit, because I have been there and done that as a mom, where you just go, I want this day done. Like this has been a day and it's only 9:30 in the morning, that kind of thing. So sometimes, you know, kids are just going to act out, and it's tough for parents to be able to navigate that sometimes. So I try to have grace, although I can be just as whiny as anybody else, that's for sure. But right now, at least just currently, I'm not seeing that as much in the Disney restaurants.
Mm. All right. Let's talk about number four on Zoe's list. She calls them the Bridge Brigade. I'll be honest. I don't see too much of this. Maybe she's seen more. Maybe you guys have. But she refers to it as the Bridge Brigade. You aren't taking a photo or having a rest. You and your family of 17 are waiting for the fireworks display 3 hours in advance, staking your claim to an elevated viewing position, and basically grinding traffic in the area to a halt. I haven't seen much of this. Have you guys?
The only place that I've seen people kind of queue up in a way in advance was back in the day when we had illuminations going on at Epcot, and it was the bridge between France and the International Gateway. That is always a congregation spot where people, I mean, it's great. It's good viewing and it's, you know, great for photographs and everything else. So why wouldn't you? So sometimes that could, back in the day when we had nighttime spectaculars on property, that could get a little squishy. What about you, Mike?
Nothing that really rings a bell besides illuminations, like you were saying. I do know that there was a couple times with, oh my goodness, my brain just went, the Festival of Fantasy. I could not think of the name of that parade to save my life for a moment. But Festival of Fantasy, I would see that happen too near Splash Mountain. People would stake out a spot there because they then wanted to get in the line for Splash Mountain as soon as it was over. So there would be a large clump of people there as well. But other than those two things, I've not seen it recently. And even pre-COVID, when I was there in February, I don't think that stood out anything like that that I can think of.
Yeah, the next one is probably my biggest pet peeve of all the things she has on this list. The entrance blockers.
Yeah.
Now, she's... talk specifically about people who get up to the main entrance to a park and aren't prepared. I hate those people. Like, it's better at Walt Disney World because you're using magic bands, but even there, this can be a thing. This can be a real thing. But people who stop in doorways
or walkways.
Walkways, I kind of understand. It's annoying, but I get it. It's here's the entrance to a store, and here is a family of six sitting there in the entrance, looking at their phones, chatting with each other like they're the only people in the world. This is the entrance to something. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, I say, excuse me, but that's not what I want to say. I want, you know, my jersey to come out and be like a foghorn in their ear yelling obscenities, but I don't do that usually. But it's also, you know, like when people are in line for something and they're, you know, you have to present a ticket or you have to present something or you have to, you know, and they get up there and they're like totally surprised and it takes them 20 minutes to get their stuff together. Like, you were in line for this. You knew what you had to do. Why are we sitting here waiting on you to like, oh, that's right, I need this. That drives me insane. That drives me positively insane. That is my biggest pet peeve of all of these. And I think that's a good name for them, the entrance blockers. Mm-hmm. So, all right. I think that's going to do it for our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, folks. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes.